Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
NFL draft is in the books, and the Minnesota Vikings are headed to, I guess, rookie camp is up next. Matthew Collar from Purple Insider. Always good to have him with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Matthew, good morning. What is your grade at the entirety of this year's Minnesota Vikings draft?
Well, you know, I said in the lead up to the draft, as long as they came up with a quarterback, that I would give them an A. So guess what? They get an A. I'm not gonna worry too much about if they gave up too much to move up to get Dallas Turner, who I really, really like as a prospect. I am definitely not going to argue with people on the internet about whether they should have drafted a kicker or not. We'll just see how that goes. Not gonna fight the battle that I had some other seventh rounder that they should have taken other than the guy that they got. They nailed the most important thing by far, by a million miles, which was drafting a quarterback. And the way that they did it, they might even deserve an A+ because they didn't have to trade up. I had my own skepticisms about J.J. McCarthy because even though he was a great winner in college, they didn't lean on him a lot. He's got a very small sample of actually throwing the football, about half as many throws as some of the other prospects in this draft. But that probably helped them a little bit to get their guy and not have to trade up to number 4 or 5. If they had to give up that other first-round pick, then you'd be without this edge-rushing prospect who could turn out to be really good. So the patience of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah in the front office to let the board kind of fall to them, I thought it ended up playing out extremely, extremely well. And now they have a quarterback prospect who will probably need some time. Sam Darnold is going to be maybe important in this operation, and I think that they recognize that, and they don't want to push J.J. McCarthy too quickly, but Kwesi Adofo-Mensah mentioned kind of now a two-year plan that they have this year and then, you know, on to next year to build this team to try to compete for a Super Bowl, and you know, we can actually kind of say that now, where for years it felt like we had just, and, you know, we're just stuck in kind of the mud there of, well, you know, can you make the playoffs? You're not really a contender. Well, now you have a chance to build the real contender around J.J. McCarthy. So I can't give them anything less than an A, even though I probably wouldn't have drafted the kicker.
I think that's really fair, though, Matthew. I really do. What do you think about two things, actually, I guess? The cornerback from Oregon, Kyree Jackson. I love his size and everything, but you probably have seen much more on him than I have. But I loved that pick, and I'm just curious, do you think did the Vikings ever even consider the idea, because Joe Milton was still there late in the 6th, 7th round area, that was that ever a consideration just to have him on the roster?
I'd be surprised if they wanted another quarterback. I guess, you know, New England doing it when they drafted a quarterback was, I was reading some New England writers, they were kind of scratching their heads a little bit. It is the Kirk Cousins RG3 thing of drafting two quarterbacks in the same draft. I think they kind of have their development quarterback in Jaren Hall that, you know, they never really planned on playing him last year. But yeah, I mean, Joe Milton is super fun, but I also, in the first sentence, someone was like, he might end up moving to tight end. So I don't, I mean, yeah, I love the cannon, but my guess is that they didn't consider that too much. As far as Kyree Jackson, such an interesting story. A guy who, out of high school, quit football, and then, you know, he was actually trying to become a professional video game player and was on his way to doing that. And then he got the itch again to go play football. He goes to community college. His you know, COVID season was canceled. You know, when we see all these older players in drafts, like, well, how are they so old? Like, hey, let's not forget what happened just a couple of years ago, right? Yeah. Where all these programs were shut down, all these kids who were in college, they went through hell during that time. And, you know, so Kyrie Jackson missed his COVID season. Then he goes to Alabama, doesn't get that many opportunities at Alabama, finally finds the right fit at Oregon, and just played absolutely phenomenal football. Last year, there were 38 throws at him, which is kind of amazing when you think about that. That's only 38 throws playing in the Pac-12 came his way. So they were obviously avoiding him. But he either had an interception or pass breakup on 11 of those. So more than a quarter of the throws going his way, he was making a play on the football. And what I really like about him is when you pull up those PFF grades that people always debate, but the one thing that they, I think, tell pretty well is tackling for cornerbacks. If somebody gets a good tackling grade, you can usually see that pretty easily. And this guy had great, great tackling, great run defense, which says to me that Brian Flores probably watched this guy on tape and said, this is an aggressive corner that I'm going to want to be able to use in a potentially versatile role. Now, that won't happen right away because we're talking about a fourth-round draft pick, but he is a little more mature than most draft picks who come out. And if he's got that aggressive mentality, then – you know, it could be a good fit. And that's what I think about pretty much all the picks is that, you know, they're looking for fits here. You know, they're looking for somebody who might be able to fill a role and potentially develop. And I think Kyrie Jackson has the potential to do that with Brian Flores.
Matthew Collar joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Matthew, I was reading your article from Purple Insider the other day on J.J. McCarthy building himself for this moment. And you brought this up already with McCarthy in the sense that one of the knocks on him is that he was never really asked to do too much. He was, you know, throwing the ball less than other. His body of work is smaller than other quarterbacks in the draft. And reading some of these quotes, clearly Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was impressed with his intellectual capacity for the game, his maturity. But what else? So with this guy that has such a small body of work, why did he fly up everybody's draft boards like he did the last few months leading up to the draft?
Yeah, I think where it really happened was at the combine where, I mean, he was on, of course, the radar. He won the national championship and he had some really good games. You know, his game against Alabama, I think, was quite impressive. But when he went to the NFL combine, people realized the type of mind for the game he had. And I talked to a guy who's the high school coach at IMG who was on the staff when he was there. And he said, I mean, we're talking about, you know, a high school player showing up early every morning, studying defenses, studying fronts, learning about blitzes, protections, all those. I mean, this is stuff. What were you doing at 17, you know? So it's just like, and not only that, I mean, J.J. McCarthy said that he started working on this with plans to be a pro quarterback when he was in fifth grade. Wow. Again, I mean, we're talking about like what? I mean, fifth grade. This is like what he's built for. He has had this aspiration for a very long time, and he has, you know, put the pedal to the metal to try to do it. And I think when he got into rooms with NFL teams, they saw his passion for the game, the way he communicates, how well he understands the game of football. And, you know, if you're going to play for Jim Harbaugh, I think you have to have a certain mentality. And not only did he play for him, but had a ton of success with him. And the other thing is, too, that when he was throwing the football at the combine, he showed progress even from the season. And he also threw it really hard because they have the radar gun. And so you saw, like, the raw arm strength that he has, which was very impressive. And so if you're Kevin O'Connell, you think, all right, well, I know his throwing was not pristine in college last year, but how about get him with me, get him with Josh right. McCown for a year. We know what his work ethic is. We know what his football IQ is. We just got to work on maybe him throwing these fastballs on every single pitch, right, which is kind of what he does. And then the other thing is, too, that he's a really excellent athlete. I mean, he is a scrambler. He's a playmaker. He can throw on the run. He's a natural athlete. So there's a lot to like here. It's just you have to project it because you can't just go back and watch a game, a random game, and say, oh, this is obviously a first-round quarterback. And I think that's what made me nervous throughout this process. I think it's what made Kwesi nervous without the data to look at like you had with, say, Michael Penix. But, you know, I think you also have to look at Kevin O'Connell and Josh McCown on this staff and go, who's better suited to help this guy become the best version of himself?
Yes, 100%.
Yep. Matthew, real quick, if it's okay, I'd love to hear what you think about the rest of the NFC North. Just real quick, at Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit, did you like those drafts, and which one of those three do you think did the best?
No, it's not okay, Pete. You can't ask about other teams on this show.
Oh, I'm trying
to help you. He's so high maintenance.
Next question. Well, there's two that stuck out to me. I mean, you know, the Packers, I thought, had one of those. Like, the Packers always seem to have these drafts where everyone goes, like, oh, that's not that flashy. And then 3 years later, all their players are good. But, you know, so I kind of thought that about them taking a tackle where not flashy, but wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, really helped themselves and Jordan Love there, because they do need offensive line help. But the other two drafts stood out more, of course. I mean, with Chicago, what they got was a franchise-shifting draft that takes them to now a mode of they could be that team that competes for championships for a very long time if Caleb Williams works out. I don't know whether he's going to work out. Yeah, neither does anybody else. But, I mean, he has the best talent of this draft, I think, of all the quarterbacks. And then for them to have Rome Odunze fall into their lap, I watched a ton of him this year when I was watching Michael Penix. That guy is a phenomenal wide receiver talent. Now they have DJ Moore. Keenan Allen is a Chicago Bear. I mean, the Chicago Bears, who have this terrible history with wide receivers, now have three of them that they could argue are pretty darn good. That's scary for the Vikings that they ended up there. And with Detroit getting Terry and Arnold, another one of my favorite players in this draft, I wondered if the Vikings were going to stick and pick at 23 and take Terry and Arnold, because he is such a physical corner out of Alabama. I thought that was a big home run for them. So, and when you look around the NFC North, it's a beast. This is not like it was from a couple years ago, where two out of the three teams were tanking and the other one had Aaron Rodgers quiet quitting. I mean, this is like all these teams are pedal to the metal, all in. They are trying to win championships over the next couple years. And that's why the Vikings had to do this. They couldn't bring back a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins with a healing Achilles and say, oh yeah, we're going to battle with Detroit, we're going to battle with Green Bay and what Chicago's going to be. That wasn't going to be acceptable. They had to take the route that they took here.
Matthew, give me the one name of this draft class that in, let's say, 2 years, because 1 year I think is a little much, but in 2 years from now we'll say, yep, that was the guy that really panned out better than the rest. That was the guy that has done exactly what we thought he was going to do.
Well, I mean, if we're not – are you talking about Vikings pick?
Yes, please. Sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, the one is – it's just poor Dallas Turner. Like,
yes.
Dallas Turner would have been somebody's bell of the ball. He would have been the guy that they rolled out, you know, everything for him to come to their facility. They would have shot the video of him, like, walking through and signed his contract or whatever, all that stuff that they do on social media. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that other guy they got, whatever. What was his name? Some, you know, whatever, some city. Dallas Turner is an unbelievable prospect. I honestly couldn't believe they got. I expected. It was another guy I watched a ton of this year. Stood out every single game. This guy has a 40-inch vertical. He runs a 4.4. I mean, he put up huge numbers at Alabama. He's versatile. He drops back in coverage at times when he was playing this outside linebacker spot. I mean, I couldn't have built in a lab a better player for Brian Flores, because he does have this versatility and this freakish athleticism and has been Alabama trained and produced there. There's no like, yeah, but, or put an asterisk. Well, you know, maybe he's got that. Like, no, this guy is a premier prospect, which is why they traded up, because I'm guessing that they only saw a handful of guys that they thought were top 10 type of talents, and they went up and got him. So even though he's not being talked about today, and I kind of felt bad for him at the press conference where it's like everyone's there for McCarthy, and then, oh, yeah, this other guy. Well, you know, the Minnesota Vikings have a pretty good history of edge rushers, right? So he might be the next one.
Well, good stuff. Matthew, thanks as always. We appreciate you. And next time we'll ask you a little more to evaluate. We'll have more questions that we want to ask you, just throw at you without guessing, and see if you'll answer them.
Thanks, Matthew.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Matthew Collar. Yeah, I mean, Pete, you look at this defense now, and you brought this up. I was just looking at it. You got Grenard, Van Ginkle, Dallas Turner, Blake Cashman. I mean, like, this pass rush, and Ivan Pace Jr. obviously in there as well, this is, I mean, like that defense with the mind of Brian Flores, mm-hmm. that's a pretty exciting possibility. Those are some pretty exciting possibilities.
I totally agree with you. The only issue I have, and I'm going to have it for a while, is the five in the middle, the three D linemen and the mm-hmm. linebackers, from a size perspective, we're small. We're very small compared to the rest of the NFL. And I think that can teams run against us? They can't. Passing, you're right. I mean, we've got these edge rushers. We've got all these corners now. I think we're starting to feel pretty good about our safety positions. So all that's pretty good. But I just get concerned about any team that wants to run the ball. Are they going to be able to run it against the defense that we're going to have out there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we will find out. We're only, we're always only 6 months away from football season, right? Probably even less than that now. Coming up next, we'll turn our sights to the Timberwolves. Let's talk about the Timberwolves. Can they close things out today against the Suns? And what awaits them around the corner? You're listening to Huddle on 830 WCC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Timberwolves can close out their series with the Phoenix Suns today. What time? That game is this afternoon, I believe.
It's late night.
Is it late night? Because it's
TNT.
Out west.
Gosh, I'm gonna have to stay up till like midnight to watch the.
It's an eight. It's an 8:30 p.m. tilt. At least it's 8:30, and not like 10 o'clock. There's not a ton to say about the series, I think, that we haven't already said, other than the fact that, we've said this, Anthony Edwards has been outstanding. He's done exactly what the team needed him to do, averaging 28 points, 7 rebounds. They're getting excellent supporting cast help from everybody else. Rudy's been great, and Kat's been great. I don't think the Suns have much punch left to them tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they find a way to steal one. But I don't know. I mean, you look at this series, it's pretty dang lopsided. The one that got me the most, it's not just the points. It's how good the Timberwolves have been rebounding. They've out-rebounded them by almost 15, they're like 47 rebounds in the series. And that's how they're averaging. I mean, it's unbelievable how they're out-rebounding them.
And I think that's a big part of this whole thing is
defense.
We're playing defense. We're doing such a great job there. And even when Ant was down the other day where he was struggling and trying to get there, just couldn't quite get there. Somebody steps up, whether it's McDaniels or Alexander Walker or whomever, somebody steps up. Conley, you mentioned him. I mean, I think that what I love about the Timberwolves is this. I've said all year, everybody should try to get to games to watch Anthony Edwards because I do think he's the most electric guy in the NBA, which I still stand by that. But then he's still got Rudy Gobert, who's basically a defensive-minded guy, but he's stepped up. He's had some games where he's scoring a lot of points. He's done a great job. I think you mentioned it from the free throw line and all the rest of it. And then we've got the sixth man. So when you look at all of that, it's kind of one of these things where I think that they've got to be looking at the Timberwolves right now and thinking, how do we get past these guys? Even with their big three, Beal and, Booker and Durant and the whole deal, I just am impressed with what they're doing this year. It doesn't look like one of those, hey, we're in the playoffs, but we're probably going to get bounced out teams.
Yes.
This is a team that looks like it can go somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think it was Chris Finch that said something similar to that, that these guys, they're playing like winners, Pete. Mm-hmm. And I just, in the team of the teams in the last 10 to 15 years, these Timberwolves teams that have gone to the playoffs or the postseason or whatever, they just don't, they have a, this team has a different mindset. They have a different swagger about them. Mm-hmm. They don't think like, hey, we're in the playoffs. Yay. It's, we're here and we need to win. Like, we're going to win. We're not worried about losing. We're just worried. Like, we're going to win. And I think when you play not to lose, when you play not to lose, that's where you have trouble. These guys are playing to win every night. Yeah. And they're not taking their foot off the gas. They have, you know, Kevin Durant has had his numbers. And I think that was the strategy. Like, you're going to let, basically, we've said this before, that if Phoenix is going to beat, you know, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us. We're going to let Kevin Durant do it, and he can't. Mm-hmm. The rest of the roster hasn't done a whole lot. And I just think, I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be Denver, and I think this might end up being whatever the finals are. I think this might end up being the best series of the playoffs, Denver versus Minnesota, if we get it. I'd be super excited to watch that series.
It's like a street fight, because we're a different team. You know, last year, we weren't the team that we are this year. This year, we've led the entire way. We literally have been somewhere in that top three, a lot of the time top one or two. But defensively, we've played great all year. And then you start looking at the offensive side of it. In the three games so far against the Suns, I mean, 120 points, 126 points, 105 points, that's pretty good. And then you look at the other side of it, on the defensive side of it, you're holding these guys just like we've done all year. So if we just continue what we're doing, I think that the Timberwolves really do have a great opportunity in front of them. Obviously, they got to get past the Suns. But if it's us going up against Denver, I think it's a completely different series than what we saw last year when they dominated us. I don't see that happening this year at all.
And let's see. So that series is 3-1 Denver. They play again tomorrow night at 9. And so if the Timberwolves win, they'll await that series. And then we're moving on around. Should be exciting. A lot of fun to watch the Timberwolves right now, for sure. And I'd be very excited to see that series. We will take a quick break. We've talked about this a little bit already, but we'll get back into it. The Twins and why everyone is excited. The sky is no longer falling down at Target Field. We'll tell you about it coming up next. I was never a Nirvana guy.
No, it's a little funky.
Prefer old or what? I mean,
I'm just
old.
What did he say?
Are you telling me I'm too old for Nirvana?
No, the band Hole.
Oh, Hole.
Oh, I thought Courtney you were saying the same thing, Dave.
That sounds old. Can I share, speaking of being old, can I share our text string, Pete?
Sure.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah.
So, as you can tell, I'm a little bit, I've been under the weather this week. You know, it's, you know, I'm fighting off this cold. I've been really sick the last couple of days. I've been in bed. And yesterday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, in my, you know, cold induced coma that I'm in, I get this text message from my good buddy, Pete Najarian. Hey, kid, looking at the calendar, happy anniversary today. Happy anniversary to you, bro. You guys have done a great job raising great kids. And we're all very proud of the, is it Nadukians, Pete?
Ah, that's just a stupid nickname for ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm hopped up on all sorts of cold medicine, been sleeping. I wake up. My first thought was, oh my gosh, is it my wedding anniversary and I forgot? Scared the life out of me. And my wife, who's also been sick. So I know we have parents out there who probably share the same plight. Never in our lives that we've been married and have kids have we both been sick at the exact same time. So we're both very ill, sitting on the couch for the last 3 days, just feeling awful. And I'm like, I forgot our wedding anniversary. I'm like, wait a second. No, it's not. It's not till June. And so I text Pete back, thanks, buddy, but I think you got the wrong date.
Turned out it's my brother. Eddie.
It's your brother.
He and my parents have the same date, but my parents would have been 70 years, and my brother, I think, is close to 30 years or 35 years or something like that anyway.
I love that. I love that. It made me laugh. I'm like, I'm ready to share this tomorrow that Pete had me. I'm like, oh, it's so nice he said this about my kids. Wait a second. It's not my wedding anniversary. And Pete's never met my kids. Not yet anyway.
Yeah,
he did. You met him at the fair. That's right.
I did. I can't wait for the fair, guys. I cannot wait. Wow.
I know. You're excited. By the way, hey, before we get to Twins talk, I saw this. Pete, did you? And I don't remember if I said this to you or not. In Texas, for like $32, you can buy. Have you seen this? This giant. It's like a. It's this cardboard container. It's like a foot long hot dog with two beef patties and nachos and French fries, and everyone. It's like, that's so much food. That's crazy. Look at all that. And my reaction was, all that food for $32 at a ballpark? That's incredible. That's a pretty good deal.
And there's a card of a cardiologist right next door to
That's so funny. So let's talk a little bit about the Twins. I know we did chat a little bit about it in our last hour, but it certainly seems 1 week later, things are getting a little bit better for this team. There's a lot of time left, and it's against two teams that are not exactly world beaters, but nonetheless, we're seeing this team do good things again, starting to do some things with consistency, good hitting. They've had timely pitching. Most importantly, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, Pete, because you've always talked about this, they're hitting home runs, which this team, I think, the more it happens and every year we go past this, the more I realize that the Twins teams are just built to, if you have to hit home runs to win. I mean, is that the only way that the Twins are going to win baseball games?
I don't know about that, but I would say this. We started to finally find a rhythm, it seems like. Now, obviously, we're playing against the Sox, not a very good, the worst team in baseball history, practically. And then against LA. And LA's not playing all that great this year either. So it's one of those things where, these are the games you can win and should win, and hopefully you do win. And I think that, you know, you're seeing some at least productivity out of Buxton and Jeffers and Castro and Julian, and that's got to be something that's giving us at least a bit of a lift. And I know Charlie's a huge Twins guy, and he knows back and forth. I mean, he knows these guys better than anybody. But I just think it's great that we've got a little bit of the pitching side improved. And obviously the bats needed to wake up. They finally woke up. Now, it doesn't mean we're in the clear yet, but it certainly has been a good week compared to last week.
Yeah, they lead Major League Baseball in OPS over the last 7 days. Just getting that mental monkey off their back. I think that there really was just a hold there for some of these guys. Farmer and Santana in particular, who also – Santana now all of a sudden three home runs in three straight games, which has been really nice. They just really needed to – keep their heads above water while some of these guys are getting healthy too. When Duran is coming back soon, when Topa, the other guy in the bullpen, is coming back soon, as Carlos Correa gets a little bit closer on and is doing some field work, as Royce Lewis is still rehabbing and will be a little bit, they really just needed to keep their head above water. And that's what was so important about this week is, yes, they were bad teams, but it counts just as much in the win column. As any other game. So it's been a big week for the Twins. You like to see those bats come alive. I mean, yesterday that was not just home runs. That was 15. You don't score 15, 16 runs just hitting 16. Home runs. Yeah, 16 runs. There was a lot of clutch hitting, a lot of nice, solid contact that wasn't going over the wall that you really felt. Eddie Julian really coming on strong these last couple games, and Trevor Larnach coming back up from AAA and looking okay at the plate.
So then we can all agree that even though these teams aren't good, this is more about the Twins. This streak is more about the Twins making improvements than it is about playing lesser teams.
Yeah.
Right? We can all agree on that.
100%.
Right.
So then on a scale of 1 to 10, two weeks ago we talked about how worried we were, right? I mean, how much concern do you have for this Twins team? If a few weeks ago I think I was at like a 5 or a 7, I'll bring it back. Where are you guys at? And frankly, where are our listeners at? Let us know on the Stiles Financial Talk and text line 651-461-9226. Guys, where is your level of either concern, or maybe it's a level of positivity now where you're at on this team?
To Charlie's credit, I don't think you were all that worried, Charlie. I think you felt
never was,
more.
Yeah.
You felt more that it was early. It's too early to judge too much, and I don't disagree with that, but. They needed some kind of a spark, and maybe this is it. Let's hope this is it, because again, we're not going against the most difficult competition in the world either. Of course, we weren't. We were one of them as well, but now we're starting to get a little bit of that swagger back. We've gotten, you know, the bat's starting to move a little bit. Pitching's gotten a little bit better, so I throw it out to Charlie to say, hey, are you feeling a lot better? You were not in panic mode, but I think like anybody, we were all sitting there looking at this team struggling and what was going to get them out of that hole.
Yeah, I think I said last week, you know, I'm not worried at all at that point, and I'll revisit it in a week. If they lose, you know, three or four of these games, then okay, I'm gonna come out and say maybe there's some bigger issues here. And there were big issues, not big issues, but there were concerns last week as we were coming into this very pivotal week early in the season. I'm not concerned. It's a long season. They're 500 right now. That's fine at this point in the season. They've still got injuries. They're playing better baseball. They're hitting the ball better. They're seeing the ball better. And, you know, it's you can't blame it all on this. You can't say, you know, this is the reasoning behind it. But it's getting warmer out in the Twin Cities. They're hitting the ball and they're hitting it over the fence in LA. It's a warm night in LA. You're able to let those balls.
No.
Yes, absolutely. That is a factor. Offense picks up in the middle of the summer because of the temperature. That happens.
Or because guys have finally hit their stride and it took them that long to get their
swing.
I'm
not saying that is the be all end all. I mean, clearly that
I don't buy
the
into that
thing,
theory.
But there is a portion of it that goes into it. I'm saying that is the major reasoning. All that to say, yeah, I'm not concerned. I'm not necessarily overjoyed at this point. They're playing good baseball, but yeah, it's against bad teams. I think they're just fine. I think they're just fine right now, and we're early in the season.
As usual, you're the voice of reason. I always appreciate that about you, Charlie.
Thank you
very keep
much.
Us in check.
Hey, Dave, that's funny you say that. I don't think a lot of other people would say that about me.
Here's the one thing that stands out for me, guys, just because I was taking a real quick look and I had my assumptions already in my head and they were exactly right. So how about this? We've got 13 wins, 13 losses. We're 500, as we talked about. At home, we're 6-6. On the road, we're 7-7. The runs we've scored, 113 to 111. I mean, we are as 500 as you can possibly get across the board. So it's interesting because I remember last year we were kind of in that same category and we got a little bit better, not a lot better, but we are chasing right now and it's going to take a little bit of time. And the way Cleveland's playing and Kansas City's playing, that's a little bit different because we have got to be able to win more games at home specifically.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That is one portion that we haven't really talked about is the rest of the Central. Cleveland and Kansas City have been playing good baseball. But again, that's another reason why I'm not ultra worried at this point. I don't think they can keep it up all year. I don't think they're those teams. They're good. They're fine. I don't think that they are best record in the American League good, though. So that gives, you know, another glimmer of hope for this Twins team being at 500.
I am, like all of the rest of us, excited to see where this team goes once some of these injuries come back. Now, the problem with baseball is such a long season that you're always going to have more, but I don't think you can discount having Duran, not having Duran, not having Royce Lewis, some of these other ones. I mean, they need everybody to come back. So be interesting. Another game today should be a good one as our good buddy Pablo Lopez will take the hill for Minnesota. And that is that's a 3:07 Central Time.
It's the first
inside
pitch at
Twins
3:07 and then inside Twins at 2:07.
2:07. All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Are we going to have, 2:00. Will there be more games to the NFL season very soon? Is it a possibility that preseason is going to be done for the NFL? We'll discuss that next. Is the day after the Super Bowl really a holiday? Well, if Roger Goodell has his way, maybe it will. He was on the Pat McAfee show on Thursday and floated the idea of extending the NFL season to 18 games, which would potentially push the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. Goodell said, and I quote, "I think that we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. The reality is I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season game any day. That's just picking quality. If we get to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, Super Bowl Sunday ends up on President's Day weekend, which ends up being a 3-day weekend, which makes it Sunday night, and then you have Monday off." So a lot of people, including Charlie, saying that this is the best thing ever because we should have the Monday after the Super Bowl off. Here's my problem with this. Number one, I don't think that you necessarily need that because you can get up the next day and go to work.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, yeah, I'll speak for myself.
You're not watching the Super Bowl like I'm watching the Super Bowl.
Here's my only problem with this. And can we please be honest? The reason Roger Goodell doesn't like preseason games is because those tickets are markedly cheaper than the regular season. If he can give two more games of regular season prices, how much more money does that put in the pockets of these teams? It makes a difference. And if you think the only reason is that he wants to give everybody a holiday after the Super Bowl, I got a bridge to sell you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Well, no, of course it's about the money, but there are nice, you know, side effects to that money. And also, I'd imagine the ad spend is a lot cheaper for preseason games as it is for regular season
sure.
games. I'd imagine that's where the real money is coming from, is they can say, hey, we got an 18-game season now to all of the broadcasters who want to buy those programs.
Why do you need the day off after?
You're having too good a time. A
lot of chicken nuts. A lot of heartburn. Nobody likes heartburn at work. So
you can't just go to work and just, you know, maybe give it half effort.
Well, I can, and I have been for years. But if I don't have to, that's great.
So really, you're the hero here, because what you're trying to do is give yourself – I need a better effort. I need to be a better version of myself.
I'd love labor statistics on how many people take that day off.
Oh, I already know it.
Yeah.
I know it. I'm telling you, from the stock market, you can see it.
Yeah.
Their volumes are lower.
Yeah.
There you go.
People are not. It's an absolute fact.
So
I'll say this, though, guys. So I don't mind the idea if they want to add a regular season game. I still my only rational reason for wanting any sort of preseason game is that is the one opportunity that you have to see what a player can do in a real game situation. Now, again, it's not a real game. It's a preseason game. But that being said, think about this. Those people that are getting the opportunity to go to an NFL game, even though it's a preseason game, and pay significantly less money for those tickets to be able to attend, those are the people that you're building up as fans of the future, right? I mean, because oftentimes it's probably younger people can't afford it, but they get the opportunity to afford it. So I think that's something that's a piece of this puzzle that I think Goodell and those guys are not looking at right now, because it is a feeder to some degree.
Yeah, and Major League Baseball has had this problem, and now they've finally started to address the idea of making the game more fan-friendly for people who don't go all the time. You know, the ticket prices being lower, the pitch clock, all these changes and things like that to kind of change the game and gather those fans again. So I don't think you're wrong, Pete. I think you're actually – you nailed it. The other thing I think is if you get rid of these preseason games, you're going to have to expand the roster, aren't you? I mean, you cannot get a good look to cut your roster down to where it needs to be with just two preseason games.
I mean, I think that should happen anyway, though. Don't you think, Pete? I mean, you've been for roster expansion for a while. At the very least, that practice squad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go, Charlie, is I look at it as, you know, I don't understand. If you've got the practice squad, I'm fine that they're part of the practice squad. But suit those guys up. Always have three quarterbacks in a uniform. I mean, I think those things are – that's where Goodell and these guys, really, they're just blind. And I think it's ridiculous. I think it's stupid. Whatever adjectives you want to use. Because those are times – it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. And we've seen it happen in the last couple of years where you've got to have certain players. So why not expand it? You're going to make more money, to your point, Dave, originally. You're going to make more money. You've added a real game. So why not figure out a way to figure the roster in a different way and let them suit up?
Yeah.
And they're getting paid either way, these players. So why not have them suited up and basically have some sort of a restriction? I don't understand why that should be very, very easy and should be well thought through, I think.
What goes away first, preseason games or hugging the commissioner at the NFL draft? Did you see? So Goodell, J.C. Latham, I mean, I think whatever surgery Roger Goodell had on his back, he undid. Did you see the hug? I mean, this dude is, J.C. Latham is a, if you didn't see it, he is
Thank
a
you.
Large human being. And he comes through to get, and he gives, we all had heard about Goodell's back surgery. gives him this big bear hug and picks him up. And I swear I could hear Goodell's back crack and you could see it on his face. And I don't know if I was just looking for it, but he was not walking the same after that.
Let me tell you, JC's 6'6", 350. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Good times, fellas. Let's do it again next week, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.